This morning we want to study the subject, what is the meaning of the last days? In 2 Peter 3 and in verse 3, Peter says, knowing this first, that in the last days scoffers shall come, walking after their own lusts. In 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 1, Paul speaks of the latter times and describes some characteristics of those times. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul indeed says, in the last days perilous times shall come. And some read this passage and others and suggest that here we have signs of the end times, characteristics of the world just before Jesus comes. The popular cry among religious folks today is the signs are right for Christ's return. To establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, we are indeed living in the last days. And they say, look here. We can identify characteristics of our day. There are indeed evidences of covetousness, disobedience to parents, unthankfulness, people who display an absence of natural affections, homosexuality, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And some of even our own brethren sing such songs as, Jesus is coming soon. And include in their singing that second verse that says, when these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, I will come very fast, trumpets will sound. And brethren, that whole song is wrong, not just the second verse. And we need to be more careful about the songs that we sing, because there are other songs that talk about Jesus coming soon. And that's a matter that we don't really know. We don't know when he's coming. And the songs that would suggest to the contrary, we need to avoid, and we need not to teach with our singing those things that are contrary to God's word. There will be no signs to announce the approach of the coming of Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36, Jesus says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. And he goes on to describe the second coming of Christ to be as in the days of Noah, where there is marrying and giving in marriage. Things are going to go on as normal. There are not going to be any unusual signs, no unusual pointers to the second coming of Christ. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Oh, I understand that in Matthew chapter 24 there are signs that are mentioned. And many of those signs are the very signs that premillennialists would tell us today point to the second coming of Christ. But those signs do not point to the second coming of Christ. They pointed to the destruction of Jerusalem. In Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, "Ye shall hear war of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." And Jesus goes on to describe many other signs, but his conclusion of the matter was found there in Matthew 24, verse 34, when he says, "This generation shall not pass away till all of these things be fulfilled." And brethren, those things were fulfilled. And Jerusalem was destroyed just as Jesus had foretold. But let's go back to our question. What is the meaning of the last days? And now I want us to go to the Old Testament and to notice that in the Old and the New Testament there are a number of references to the last days or to the latter days. And I want us to try to identify those days. In Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, Isaiah wrote, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And as we look at that passage, I want us to also notice Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. And there the prophet writes, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." Now I want us to identify those last days, referred to there by Isaiah and Micah. What is being discussed in these two passages? What period of time is looked forward to in those two passages? Well, I believe that if we notice the details of that which is prophesied in these two passages, that it will enable us to identify the last days, the meaning of the last days. Isaiah and Micah talk about the house of God. Now, what's he talking about when they mention the house of God? In 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 15, Paul said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Isaiah and Micah were looking forward to the establishment of the kingdom, the church of the living God. An event that they said would take place in the last day. Furthermore, we notice that both Isaiah and Micah refer to people being drawn into the house of God. Isaiah says, "All nations shall flow unto it." Micah says, "People shall flow unto it." Now, as we look to the pages of the New Testament in Acts chapter 2 and the establishment of the church, the kingdom, isn't that exactly what begins to take place on the day of Pentecost and continues to take place throughout the Christian age? Indeed, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that there were people present on that occasion, devout men out of every nation under heaven. The day in which the church came into being. The day in which the kingdom was established was a day in which there were devout men from every nation who flowed into the house of God. Isaiah also mentions that the word of God would go forth from Jerusalem in the last day. We look in the pages of the New Testament and the statement made by Jesus before his ascension. In Luke 24 and verse 47, Jesus says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, beginning in the city of Jerusalem. And as we turn to Acts chapter 2, we find ourselves in the city of Jerusalem, and it is on the Pentecost day following the ascension of our Lord, and it is on that very day that the church of our Lord came into being on this earth, that the kingdom of God was established. We turn to Acts chapter 2 and read in verse 17, there is the first occasion in all of the New Testament where there is a reference made to the last days. And in Acts 2 and verse 17, the Apostle Peter is preaching that great sermon on that day of Pentecost. And he says there in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now Peter is referring to a passage out of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And notice as he refers to that passage, as he cites that passage, he refers to the last days, plural. He's not saying everything is going to be fulfilled this day of Pentecost. Even on the matter of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on that day, it did not extend the way in which Joel prophesied until some 10 years later when Cornelius and his household came into the body of Christ, the first Gentile convert. And they received the miraculous powers of the Holy Spirit as the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. But notice also here the Apostle Peter says, in verse 16, this is that which was spoken of by Joel. In other words, the inspired Peter says, when Joel says in the last days these things would occur, Peter says, this is that fulfillment. These are the last days. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the reign of the Messiah. That Jesus was indeed exalted by the right hand of the throne of God, beginning his reign over his kingdom. His concluding remark in verse 36 was, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Not only does Peter identify the last days as beginning on the day of Pentecost, he says these are those days in which Jesus is reigning over his kingdom. And because of his reign, because of his authority, he was able to command men to repent and be baptized by the authority of Christ. If Christ wasn't reigning, he would have no such authority. And Peter says, these are indeed the last days, and those last days, according to the pages of the New Testament, will continue until all of those enemies of Christ are conquered, including death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 and following, that Jesus will reign over his kingdom until the last enemy is conquered, and that's death. And then he will deliver the kingdom over to the Father. And when the last enemy has conquered death, that means when all are resurrected from the grave, then he's going to turn that kingdom over to the Father. These are indeed the last days, beginning with the beginning of Christ's reign, the establishment of his kingdom, and going all the way until the end of time, the end of time on this earth. The last days, according to Peter, are the days in which we now live. The days of the Christian era. We look forward to no other age, to no other era on this earth, to no other dispensation of time. This is the time between Acts 2:17 and the end of time. You remember what was stated in Acts 11 and verse 15 as Peter describes what took place in connection with the conversion of Cornelius and his household? He says on that occasion, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning." The beginning of what? Well, the beginning of those last days that Joel spoke of, and that Peter said were being fulfilled beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now I want to stop here long enough to make some references to some things that people have said contrary to the scripture about the last day. And the first quotation comes from Max King. And I believe we need to recognize that those who believe in the, quote, realized eschatology, those followers of Max King have trouble with many of the same passages that the premillennialists do. And they are as confused about the second coming of Christ as the premillennialists are. Now, Max King said, "There is no scriptural basis for applying the last days to the Christian age." He says that in The Spirit of Prophecy, page 390. He said, "Instead of being in the last days, we are in the eternal day." Whatever that is. He says the right application of the last days is to the closing period of the Jewish age during which Christianity, Isaac, was born, and the end of which Christianity was brought to perfection and Ishmael was cast out. It's interesting to me that his father-in-law, from whom he got many of these ideas, taught as late as 1968 that the term last days, as used in Hebrews 1 and verse 2 and other places, meant these last days, the Christian dispensation. Whereas the term times past in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 referred to the Jewish dispensation. Now, either they were confused on that point about 3 years before the book Spirit of Prophecy was printed, or they were deceitfully teaching one thing at that time and believing another. The Jehovah's Witnesses wrote in "The Time Is at Hand," "We consider it an established truth that the final end of the kingdoms of this world and the full establishment of the kingdom of God will be accomplished at the end of 1914. And when 1914 passed and it didn't happen, the Watchtower made the statement that the final end of the kingdoms of this world will be accomplished near the end of 1915. And then it was 1925, and then 1975. And some of you remember back in 1981, there was a fellow back in Arizona someplace who decided that the second coming of Christ was going to take place June the 29th of that year. And a lot of folks sold their possessions and just sat down to wait for Jesus to come. But he didn't. Several have mentioned a book that was sent out in the mail. I didn't buy mine. It was just sent to me free. 88 reasons why they believe that Jesus was coming in 1988, before the end of the year. And the same folks decided after 1988 passed that he would come September the 1st, 1989. He didn't come then either. The mission for the coming days took full-page ads in such things as USA Today stating that the rapture would occur October the 28th, 1992. And if you follow the calculations of Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, you come to the conclusion that he believed that the second coming of Christ was going to take place in 1995. And according to a statement in that book, May the 14th, 1948, was the beginning of the last day. There's a fellow by the name of B.H. Roberts, a former leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who commented on this statement of Peter in Acts 2:17. He said this, quote, "This quotation from Joel is regarded as identifying the days in which the apostle was speaking as the last days, and the dispensation in which he was living as the dispensation of the last days and of the fullness of time." He's okay so far. But he goes on to state the conditions existing when Peter was speaking and the prophecy of Joel, however, admit of no such interpretation. This is an entire misapprehension of the purpose of Peter in making the quotation, as also of the quoted passage itself. In other words, what this brave Mormon was saying was that Peter was mistaken about the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And in actuality, that's what the premillennialists are telling us. They're saying that the last days did not begin when Peter said that they began, but the last days rather have reference to only those few years or those few months or those few days just before Jesus comes again. But I think you've noticed already in the course of this lectureship that even among the premillennialists there's a great deal of variation in their concepts and beliefs. Many premillennialists deny that we are living in the last days on this earth because they believe the last days will be the millennial reign of Christ. And that really makes more sense, according to their view. Those days after Christ's second coming, there will be another 365,000 more days. And they say that ought to be referred to as the last days. But notice another passage. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 2, the inspired writer, having referred to the fact that in times past God spoke to man through various ways, through the prophets, and then he says, in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, what are those days? Are we not today living in that period of time in which God speaks to us through his Son? Isn't that what we have in the pages of the New Testament? Those things that were indeed authorized by his sons, these things that God has authorized through his Son, were spoken through these inspired writers, written down that we might read and understand. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 40, speaking to the apostles, "He that receiveth you receiveth me." When we begin to receive and accept those things that these inspired apostles wrote down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what we're doing in essence is receiving Christ. They are his words, not just the read words, but all of those words authorized by Christ. And then notice in James 5 and verse 3, James rebuked some Christians there who had in his day laid up treasures, notice what he says, in the last day. They'd done that. Now, how in the name of good sense could they have done that if they were not living in the last day? And if we go back to where we started in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul again had referred to the last days, Paul goes on to say to Timothy, from such turn away. Now, if those things weren't present in Timothy's day, if Paul wasn't talking about those things that were occurring around and in the environment of Timothy in those days, then how could he say to Timothy, from such turn away? Are we living in the last days? Emphatically, yes. But we need to understand that those that have lived from the day of Pentecost and will live until the day in which Christ comes have all lived or will live in the last days. Not just those who may be alive when Jesus returns, but those who have lived from Pentecost onward until the end of this world have lived in the last days. All of this discussion about premillennialism ought not to get our minds' attention away from the fact that Jesus is indeed coming. As we refute the false doctrines of premillennialism, we need to understand that what we're teaching does not go against the fact that Jesus is coming. We believe that. We teach that. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, as Jesus ascends into heaven, those two men in white apparel, those angels of God, immediately tell his apostles, that same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have beheld him go. Jesus is coming again. But we don't know when. We don't know how soon. And as others have said in this lectureship, we need to be prepared whenever it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul says, there will be no signs because, as Jesus had earlier indicated, he is going to come as a thief in the night. And thieves don't give signs. They don't give engraved announcements of their approach so that we might know exactly what day or hour in which they might break in. You wouldn't last long as a thief if you did that. But Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, when Jesus comes again, the world that we know today is going to be destroyed by fire. Even down to the fact that Peter says the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's no indication at all in the pages of God's Word that Jesus is ever going to set his foot on this old earth again. When he comes again, he's going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come as a thief in the night, and his purpose of coming is not to establish a kingdom. That's already been done. His purpose of coming is to judge those that have lived and to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, and eternity for mankind will begin. Jesus is not going to come to establish a literal reign from the city of Jerusalem on David's throne. He's already reigning in these last days. But when we recognize that we are living indeed in the last days, we need to understand that someday there's going to be a last day of these last days. Jesus said in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now I want us to observe in that passage that Jesus says there's going to be an ending of time on this earth. There is an hour coming in which all that are in the graves will be resurrected. One of the problems with premillennialism is that they have too many comings of Christ and too many resurrections and too many judgments that are not spoken of in the pages of the New Testament, or old for that matter. Jesus says there's going to come an hour in which both the just and the unjust will be resurrected that same hour. Not the resurrection of the just separated by 1,000 years from the resurrection of the unjust. Jesus is coming back again to judge mankind, and we better be ready by being faithful to God's word. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the deeds done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or evil. And we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And according to John 12 and verse 48, we're going to be judged on the basis of this word, as that word teaches, and the life that we have lived is compared to that word. Eternity is determined. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul describes the coming of Christ. And he speaks of rest for those that are afflicted, those that have been faithful to the Lord and have endured the suffering and the affliction of faithfulness. But he also speaks of the fact that as Jesus comes with his angels in flaming fire, he's going to render vengeance to those that know not God and to those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Premillennialism is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that the way we live and the things that we believe and the things that we do and speak are those things that have been authorized by Christ himself in these last days. The Christian age, the church age, the dispensation of Christ. Thank you for your attention.